What up, everybody? It's your girl, Nasima. And back in November 2017, I did something kind of wild. I paid off a whopping $955,533.84 in debt. Yes, you heard that right. Nearly $1 million gone. How did I pull off that financial magic trick? Well, one of the biggest game changers for me was diving headfirst into the world of podcasts. I soaked up every bit of knowledge from folks sharing their money journeys, and it sparks a real change in how I handle my own. So now I'm flipping the script, and I'm here to share my stories with you every Tuesday. We're going to get real about it all, the wins, the oops moments, and those golden lessons learned along the way. Whether it's about scraping pennies or making big money moves, I've seen it all. So tune in, take notes, and let's get our financial freedom on. Y'all ready? Let's do this. I created a solution to solve the problem that I was having with my wardrobe that I know my friends have been telling me that they are struggling with, not being able to fit most of the stuff in your closet right now. If you're like me, you have clothes in your closet that you probably have for years that you keep around because of how much you paid for it. Are they still cute? But at the end of the day, you're hoping that you can still like fit back in it. It ain't working, sis. And so I have fluctuated about 30 pounds just over the last year. Obviously, I was pregnant. Now I'm not pregnant, but still like trying to lose that weight. So not trying to commit to buying new clothes that I am going to probably not fit into next month. So I created a way to keep me and you looking fly without putting a major dent in your pocket. And the best part about it is you can try it for free for a month. And after the first month, it is $50 a month for unlimited clothing plus free shipping. It's called Intentional Style Suite. And you can get all your favorite styles in your virtual closet and get two at a time. And you wear it as much as you want and switch out as much as you want. You send the items back whenever you're ready. You just click that you're ready to send it back and you get items sent to you right away, even before you should put it in the mail. So you get free exchanges, free shipping, free dry cleaning. And the best part about it is there's no commitment. Cancel anytime. Head over to intentionalstylesuite.com and let me know what you think. As of January 29th, 2024, my kids' combined net worth is $103,222.07. So that's between my three kids. And so I want to talk to you about investing for your kids. Now, this question came up because today my friend texted me about investing for her kids. What kind of account should they have? What if her kids don't go to college? Whatever. But I'm going to break down, and I have talked about investing in this podcast, but I want to give you a big overview of the accounts that my kids have, the hierarchy of those accounts, and why I chose to invest in those accounts. So the biggest bulk of their money is in a 529. 529 is their college savings fund. And it was important for me, number one, to have their college savings fund because, as you may or may not know, I graduated with two master's degrees with $180,000 in student loan debt, did not have access to any money to pay for college, and I did not want my kids to have debt if they decided to pursue higher education. Now, it's debatable whether they'll go to college, what college education will look like, but it also, as things change, what these plans are able to be used for change, but I'll talk about the pros and cons of each plan after I summarize them. So the bulk is in their 529s. Then the kids both have a Roth because they generate earned income from my business. They both have a Roth IRA, so their own retirement account. So that's the second bulk. And then they have custodial brokerage accounts that I let them pick individual stocks in. And so that's the smallest bucket. Three buckets again is their 529, which is their college savings fund, their Roth IRAs, and then their custodial brokerage or universal transfer to minors accounts. So people always ask, what accounts should I open up for my kids? And first of all, I always caveat, I always say that you should not be investing for your kids if at a minimum, you are not maxing out your own Roth IRA or contributing to your company's retirement account, at least up to the match. If you're not doing those things for yourself, miss me with those kids. Okay. You need to focus on yourself, because the greatest gift you can give to your kids is making sure you're financially stable. To answer the question of the hierarchy of the accounts, again, the biggest bulk is in the 529s. Then the next biggest is the Roth IRA. And then after that, they have the custodial accounts. And let me just let you know how those funds will be spent. First of all, Roth IRA is for educational expenses, but I'll break down. You can actually use it for more. And that's going to be in my justification for why it's the biggest account. The Roth IRA is going to be their retirement funds. So they can access a Roth IRA in their retirement. But I also like to use a Roth IRA as a backup emergency fund, because funds in that account, say if they really, really need it, any of the principal or any of the contributions that I put towards the account. So say I put $5,000 a year, just to give you a round number, $5,000 a year for 10 years, $50,000. Hey, I put $50,000 in that account. $50,000 is accessible at any time to be pulled out tax and penalty free. The goal is for them to use that in retirement, but they also have access to use that before if they needed to, but hopefully they won't. And then the custodial brokerage account, or the universal transfer to minor account, is there where I put money in monthly, a fixed amount anywhere from $20 to $100. And I let them pick individual stocks in those accounts, just to train my kids to be owners instead of consumers. In the other accounts, all their stuff is in index funds. I'm a firm believer in index funds. That's why this account is just a small account. Once their account starts to grow substantially, I'll put all that money into index funds, but they'll still be like a small amount they can't pick individual stocks for. It's just a way to reshape and reframe consumerism for my kids. So why is the bulk of my money in a 529? The bulk of my money is in a 529, again, because I do not want my kids to have to go into debt to go to school. But the 529 is also hella dope, because it can be used for other things. You can use a 529 for apprenticeships. You can use a 529 for homeschooling expenses. You can get a repayment of up to $10,000 in student loans. You can get reimbursed for scholarship funds. You can transfer a 529 for one sibling to the next. Say my oldest daughter does not use it for school. Now her sibling can use it. One of her siblings can use that money, and it still continues to grow in that account tax free. Because of the Secures Act, you can take $35,000 of that if that account has been open for at least 13 years after the child turns 18, and put that money into an IRA. If they decide that they don't want to go to college, $35,000 of that now you can put into their retirement fund, and it continues to grow tax free until their retirement. Worst case scenario, if they don't go to college and the money is sitting in an account, you could pay a 10% penalty and just take the damn money. Okay. The growth will be worth the penalty. And that's the worst case scenario. But I want to use this account as a legacy building tool, because you can change the beneficiary at any time. I want to have that as a go-to source of funds for my kids, my grandkids. It'll live in one place, so that anybody that needs access to these funds for all of those reasons, again, listed, homeschooling, apprenticeship, college, whatever, they can use those funds. So that's why the bulk of their net worth is tied up into a 529. After that, they have their retirement account. I just think there's nothing better than planning for retirement than now. And they don't have to have a lot set away to be able to retire very comfortably. And so I wanted to start those accounts now, so that they'll have a good solid foundation when they go out into the workforce to build on. So when they retire, my kids will be set, and I'll set them up for early retirement, or to take many retirements by being able to live off of that money and the tax advantages of a Roth IRA. Let's talk about the tax advantages of a 529 first. 529s, that money that you put in there, grows tax and penalty free when you take that money out. If you use it for educational expenses, it's not taxed. There's no penalty. if you take the money out and use it for something else, because you don't have any other way to use it, 10% penalty. For a 520, for a Roth IRA, the money that you put into a Roth IRA is after-tax money. Therefore, the money that grows in that account is in tax. And when you go to pull that money out in retirement, there's no taxes. And then for a custodial brokerage, you have taxes as the account grows. And there's no penalty for taking that money out at any time, but just know that you do get taxed on that money in the account. It is a taxable account. And talk to your CPA on how that's taxed, but it's capital gains tax. It's a different tax code. There's the bonus to that is that money you can use for whatever you want. So the things that I plan on putting, and I'm going to put substantially more amount of money in their custodial brokerage account, is I want to use that for a down payment on their first car or to pay for their first car and a down payment on their first multifamily or house that they're going to house hack. And that's how I'm setting it up. That's how it's going to be written out. That's their first property is going to have to be a house hack. And if you don't know what that is, it's when you rent out a portion of your house, or if you have a duplex, you rent out another unit and the cost of the money that you retain, the money that you get from that rental helps substantially drop your housing costs, if not eliminate that. And so I want them to be able to have at least that first house to be a house hack so they can build off of that and take that money and buy other houses in the future. So that's how I'm going to use those college funds. That's how they're set up. Let me know in the comments or slide in my DMs if you have any more questions about college fund, about investing for your kids, how they should be set up. Again, if you are not investing up to your company match, or if you are not maxing out your own Roth IRA, this is not a time for you to be asking about your kids. You need to get yourself right. One of the questions my girlfriend asked was that she said her boyfriend's daughter decided not to go to college and he had a college fund and the money is just sitting there. Again, the money is not just sitting there. He can transfer it out to his name. If he has some student loans, he can pay down his student loans. If he's paying for private school for another kid, he can use that for private school. He can designate it. Say they got married. She has a younger son. He can change the beneficiary to her son and use it. So that money is not tied up. It doesn't just disappear if your kids don't go to college. And so that's like a misconception that people are like, I invested all this money and now it's just sitting there. No, you can use it for anyone. It can be a gift. You can use it for yourself. It can be a gift for another family member. You decide to go back to school. You're the beneficiary now. You can use those funds to go back to school. So again, it's just a legacy building tool that you can use. If you don't think your kids are going to go to college, I still say set up a 529, but it might not be your priority. So she's leaning towards more like a custodial account, which is fine. A custodial brokerage, which is fine. Only thing that you need to consider with a custodial brokerage is you are only an owner of that account until the child turns the age of majority. So you put your hard-earned money into this account and the age of majority in, or when they technically become adults in certain states differ. So it could be 18 in one state, 21 in one in another state. But as soon as they turn that age, it's their money. They can do whatever they want with that money. And if you haven't set them up well with good financial literacy skills, they might F that money off. And so that's the only downside to that and the taxation side of it. That money is taxed in that account, but I think the taxes are well worth the investments. Yeah. Anyway, any questions about these accounts, how to set them up, where to set them up? A good place to start is Fidelity, because Fidelity has zero account minimums, no fees. They have no cost index funds where you're not paying fees on your index funds. And so I like to refer people to Fidelity because most people are getting started with a little bit of money and want to invest. I like to say $10 is like the bar. If you have $10 to invest for your kids, you can invest. My kids, their 529 is in Vanguard. Their Roth IRAs are with Fidelity. And currently our custodial brokerage accounts is with Stockpile. And it's only with them because of the ease of use, because my kids can like even my 2 year old, my daughter, when she was two, she couldn't read, so she can recognize the stock symbols. So I like to use that because they can easily point out and see what stock they want to buy without, it's not overwhelming like a regular brokerage platform, but I will roll those funds over into a Fidelity account for them when they get older. So highly recommend Fidelity. Anyway, again, I know I said this, but have any questions, slide in my DMs. Let me know if you're investing for your kids. And then if you have any questions about mine. But yeah, my kids hit six figures. Aha.
Thank you for listening to my mom's podcast. Bye-bye.